I've got a secret for you. Time travel exists, and it's been around for centuries. No, I'm not talking about some sleek machine hidden in an underground bunker. I'm talking about oral tradition, the human behavior of telling stories. How is it like time travel, you might ask? Well, when you hear a story that's been passed down through generations, it's a window into what captured the imaginations of people who lived before you. Time may spool us away from these people, but we remain connected to them via the threads of oral tradition. Stories, like human memory, are squishy. They take new shapes and forms as they travel through generations of mouths and ears. Each storyteller leaves a trace of themselves embedded in the spoken word. They naturally select pieces of the story that flow easily from memory to memory, dropping verses, changing words, and adjusting rhythms. I'm Sarah Mitchell, and this is Quick and Quirky, the podcast where I cover weird topics in 10 minutes or less. In this episode, I'm focused on one story that's transformed in strange and unexpected ways. This is the story of Dirty Lil. The story of Dirty Lil is actually more like a song, and it goes like this. Dirty Lil, sitting on top of Garbage Hill, never wash, never will. Dirty Lil. And there you have it. You may think it's just a simple children's rhyme, and you'd be right. But it didn't start out as a cute little jingle. No, the history is winding and fascinating. My first encounter with Dirty Lil happened when I was 7 years old. My grandma would sing it to me when I refused to take a bath. If you don't take a bath, my grandma would say, Dirty Lil is gonna come down from Garbage Hill and get ya. Now, to my grandma's credit, I was a stubborn little kid. Her primary motivation was to just get me to take a bath. But Dirty Lil terrified me. You see, the town I lived in had a massive garbage plant, so it was not far off to me that a half-girl, half-creature lived nearby and was keeping tabs on my cleanliness. I imagined her skittering through town to come and eat me if I wasn't clean enough. And as I got older, I got curious about where the heck that story came from. I asked my mom whether Grandma made it up. I learned she hadn't, and that it was actually a common campfire song my mom and her siblings picked up from Girl Scouts. Now, no campfire song starts as just a campfire song, so I decided to dig even deeper and find Dirty Lil's true origins. That's what led me to South Dakota State University. Turns out, Dirty Lil is an icon at this large Midwestern university. She's even memorialized as a 1,000-pound bronze statue towering 8 feet above the ground outside the Student Union building. According to an article published by the South Dakota State Foundation, Dirty Lil, quote, sprung into being the summer before the 65th Hobo Day, where the character was derived from a drinking song that the Hobo Day Committee came across in a book, end quote. There was my next clue. Dirty Lil came from some drinking song in some book. I pinned that to my mental corkboard and dug into the immediate question at hand. What the heck is Hobo Day? South Dakota State University's Hobo Day is a homecoming celebration that started in 1912 and continues today. As you may have already guessed, students dress up as unhoused people to usher in the new school year. If you ask me, it's a distasteful tradition. especially for a school whose core values are acting with, quote, organizational and personal integrity. Cosplaying a person struggling with homelessness doesn't exactly scream integrity to me. So after exhausting that icky lead, I turned my attention toward the mysterious drinking song. And that's how I stumbled on the original tune that inspired Dirty Lil. It's called Little Brown Jug, and it was written by Joseph Eastburn Winner in 1869. It even has the same melody as Dirty Lil, the song I sang to you before, just with different words. I would sing Little Brown Jug to you, but it hasn't entered public domain, so I'd be infringing on copyright. And besides, I'm more of a shower singer anyway. So Little Brown Jug became the stuff of American folklore during the Prohibition era, when cultural references to alcohol soared to popularity precisely because they were taboo. New versions of the song emerged during the 20th century as recording artists put their own spins on it. Its most notable rise to pop culture fame was in 1939, when big band conductor Glenn Miller and his orchestra released a recording of the song on an RCA record. So how did this song glorifying alcohol wind up as a children's rhyme? Well, the answer to that question may be lost to time. And that's the way it goes with oral tradition. We can trace a story's origins until we can't. There are pieces of information that stay petrified in a specific time and place that only the people who were there can accurately recount. For me, reaching this dead end was still satisfying. I officially debunked the half-girl, half-creature monster that scared me as a 7-year-old girl. Seeking Dirty Lil's origins brought me on an interesting adventure and gave me a deeper appreciation of storytelling. Thanks for listening. This has been Sarah Mitchell with Quick and Quirky. If you liked this episode, stay tuned for more.